end here. Why? Why is that so important? Here's why. That you might live. That your soul may live. The word live here, again in the original, live is to be alive, to stay alive, to revive, to recover, to return to life. Revival. Incline, come here that you might be revived in the Lord. God, bring rivers in the desert.
Live in the Light family, we are riding the hope waves again today, continuing in the book of Isaiah chapter 55. The sermon title for our teaching today is Come, Everyone Who Thirsts. Today's message is an invite directly from the Lord for refreshment and revival. Isn't that right, Robbie?
Love that, Shannon. The hope, what do you say, waves of hope? Is that what you said?
Hope waves.
The hope waves. That's amazing, man. I do love the imagery. Hey, by the way, Live in the Light listeners, we love to hear from you, okay? So I love bumping into listeners on this program from time to time. I love hearing about, our team loves to hear about working hard to get you God's word that you may be encouraged and spurred on in this life that's just, let's be honest, difficult again often. Dark days, but the light is shining. So let us know, would you take some time? Give us a call, send us an email, go onto our website. Again, it really, really encourages our team to hear from you. Today, God is doing amazing things. He is giving an invitation to more. He is inviting us to himself. He's inviting to feed us. He's inviting us to see renewal in our lives through Isaiah chapter 55. That is a wonderful, wonderful promise. Don't you love that God doesn't just kind of cast us off and say, good luck? No, he doesn't do that at all. He is with us, he is for us, and he wants to bless us so much. But we got to put down the sin. We got to get rid of the idols. We got to decide that we want to see God and feast on him more than anything else. And that's what's happening today through the invitation of God to the satisfied life of true fulfillment in him. So Shannon, we're excited once again. We love this series, love our listeners, and most of all, we love what the Lord is doing in our lives.
All right, listeners, let's get to that invitation. So turn up the volume a little bit. Grab a notebook and a pen if you can, and open your Bible with me right now to Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1.
Please open your Bibles to Isaiah 55. Really good to see you all. Isaiah 55. We continue in our series, Rivers in the Desert, a study of revival in Isaiah. A study of revival in the book of Isaiah. God help us today as we continue to do that. I want to remind you as we go through this series, all we're doing is allowing God's word to speak. We just want to open God's word and for God's word to lead us in this. So we're just taking passages and what does the Bible say? What does the word of God say? What does the Holy Spirit say to us today from the word? And what the Holy Spirit says to us today from the Spirit-inspired scripture, which is without error, what the Holy Spirit says to us today through the word is he gives us an invitation. It's a beautiful invitation from the Lord to his church, to his people, and to the lost. It's an invitation. You know, we're in a season of lots of invitations, aren't we? Like we're coming up on Christmas season. It is a season where there's a lot of invitations that are going out. Many of us will receive invitations to different events and different Christmas parties or different gatherings or whatever it is. I mean, even we as a church, we're inviting you to several things this Christmas. I want you to know that. As our church family, we want you to be a part of our family events. We're inviting you to another prayer meeting this Wednesday. That's a good invitation. I encourage you to receive and accept that invitation. We're inviting you to our family Christmas coming up in just over a week or so, week and a half, I guess. That's always a fun thing for us to do as a church, a family Christmas. We're inviting you to Christmas Eve. 5 Christmas Eve services, not inviting you to every single one maybe, but we're inviting you to come to one of them for sure, Christmas Eve services. And those are great invitations and lots of good things happening. But the Holy Spirit's getting an invitation today that's far surpasses any invitation that we could give. The Holy Spirit today is, for those who are thirsty, it's an invitation to life. To life. For those who are just satisfied, he gives an invitation to purpose, to flat out life-changing purpose. To those who are defeated and exhausted, the Holy Spirit gives an invitation to nothing less than renewal and revival. This is what's happening today in our text, an invitation of the Spirit of God. Isaiah 55, take a look at verse 1. Come, everyone who thirsts. Come to the waters. And he who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money, without price. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread? Why do you labor for that which does not satisfy? Forget that, my words. Listen diligently to me and eat what is good and delight yourselves in rich food. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear, why? That your soul may live. And I will make with you an everlasting covenant, my steadfast, sure love for David. Behold, I made him a witness to the peoples, a leader, a commander for the peoples. Behold, you shall call a nation that you do not know, and a nation that did not know you shall run to you because of the Lord your God and the Holy One of Israel, for he has glorified you. Verse 6, seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Listen to this. Let him return to the Lord that he may have compassion on him and return to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. This is a powerful, life-changing invitation. Let's unpack it together. I want us to see four things about this invitation and four specific elements of this invitation. Number one is this: we receive an invitation to feast. An invitation to feast. Again, verse one, come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. He who has no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without price. This is the Lord right here. He is giving an invitation to a banquet. And God is the chef. Do you think God's a good cook? I do. And I think you do too. Whatever God is cooking, it is infinitely wonderful. The very first thing I need you to see, though, is the very first word in verse one. Take a look. It's the word come. Here is the invitation from God himself. The word come there in the Hebrew carries an urgent appeal. It is designed to get the reader's attention. There is urgency within this. Come, listen, behold. It's a big deal. And just before we go any further, I need us to see as we enter into this passage, I want you to see again, church, how much God wants to bless his people. Every text we've been in Isaiah thus far, every text is the heart of God longing to bless you. It's the heart of God calling and inviting and reaching out and arms extended and pleading with his people to leave their sin that they might know his satisfaction, his love, his peace, mercy, and glory. I want you to see the heart of God in this text. I want you to marvel at his grace and unconditional love and his constant extension to us, that we might experience life as it's meant to be, life to the full. And here again in verse one, I mean, even with come everyone who thirsts, God has his hands outstretched and he says, come all who want to feast. It blesses me so much. You have a perfect, infinite God reaching out again to sinful, finite humans and inviting us. And I want you to know this right now, like you ended up here today in this service at this time, not by accident. And the God of the universe has arms outstretched to you right now. And he's inviting you to more. He's inviting you to himself. He's inviting you to feast on only what he can give. You are here today in the love of God to receive once again what He alone can offer, what He alone can give. Four times in verse one, the word come is used and stated. Four times. Come to me. Come, I invite you. Come and eat. Come. I want you to feast on that which only I can give. The heart of the Father right there. The heart of the Father reaching out to you and me again today. We're so undeserving. He is so loving. Will we once again turn away the invitation from the Father? Or will we finally forsake our own ways and return to the only one who can actually satisfy? One of the marvels of this invitation, if you notice in verse one, is who it is for. Look at verse one. Who is the invitation for in verse one? The first few words, come everyone. That's amazing. Everyone. Everyone who thirsts. The context of Isaiah is astounding. Over and over again, it is clear this invitation is not only for the Jewish people. That's amazing. It becomes so clear this invitation from God is also for the Gentiles. The prophecies of Isaiah begin to clearly explain that the love of God will not be contained to one people group alone. Rather, the love of God will reach without limit or condition to every tribe, tongue, and nation. Come, everyone who thirsts. This is so beautiful. The love of God extending to every heart here today. Again, every heart here today, placed by God, an invitation to life, an invitation to love, an invitation to the Lord Himself. And by the way, this room right now is the fulfillment of this reality. This room represented by every tribe, tongue, and nation is a fulfillment of the reality of the invitation that God extended 2,700 years ago through the prophet Isaiah, fulfilled in Jesus Christ, filled with the Holy Spirit, the gathering of the bride of Christ, the diversity, the unity, the beauty that is found right here fulfilled in a continent away, again, 2,700 years later for the glory of the Lord through the life of Jesus Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit. That is awesome. Right here, we praise Him for that. We praise Him for that. It's all the Lord Jesus Christ. And a fulfillment of verse one, come everyone who thirsts. And I want you to notice that in verse one. This invitation is for all, but there is a requirement. And the requirement is that you thirst.
Hey, listeners, did you know that Live in the Light is entirely listener-supported? That's right, supported by people just like you. We are here with a mission to see lives radically transformed by the revelation of God's truth. If you believe in this message too, would you consider partnering financially with us? You can find more information about how you can give on our website at liveinthelight.ca or give us a call at 1-844-22-LIGHT. Now back to Pastor Robbie and today's message.
Come everyone who thirsts, come to the waters in verse one, but not just any waters, this waters that the Lord is providing. Do you think that if God provides water, that it might be somewhat special? In John 4, Jesus is speaking to the woman at the well. Let me read it for you. Here's what Jesus says in John 4, 7, a woman from Samaria came to draw water and Jesus said to her, give me a drink. For his disciples went into the city. The Samaritan woman said to him, how is it that you, a Jew, ask for a drink from me, a woman of Samaria? For Jews have no dealings with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, listen to this. If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. The woman said to him, sir, you have nothing to draw water with and the well is deep. Where do you get this living water? Are you greater than our father Jacob? He gave us the well and drank from it himself, as did his sons and his livestock. And then Jesus said this, the verse on the screen for you now. Jesus said, everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty, thirsty again. But whoever drinks of the water that I will give him will never be thirsty again. The water that I will give him will become in him a spring of water welling up to eternal life. Jesus extends living water, listen, but he does it to those who thirst. What do we thirst for? Do we thirst for the Lord? Or do we thirst for the world? Be honest right now. What is our main thirst? Do we thirst for the Lord or do we thirst for our sin? Be honest right now. What's the greater thirst in our lives? Is it thirsting for the Lord or is it thirsting for our sin? Again, one of the most important principles for our lives is that we feed ourselves on that which we hunger for. We will always feed ourselves on that which we find most satisfaction in. And if we long and love our sin, we will feed ourselves upon our sin as opposed to the Lord. If we hunger and thirst for the world, then we will get the world. And earthly thirst comes at such a cost. Earthly thirst results in insurmountable debt and ruined marriages and broken families and devastating addictions and despair and disappointment and misery and destruction. That's what we get when we thirst for the world. But then there's second half of verse 1, Isaiah 55, come to the waters and he who has no money, come buy and eat. What does that mean? He has no money, come buy and eat. Here's the astounding reality of the offer of this banquet feast that God is extending all those who thirst and hunger for. This banquet is free. Come without money and without price. He who has no money, it says. Again, three times in verse 1, the Lord says, the banquet is free. The banquet is free. It's free. And what is this pointing to? This is pointing ultimately to the gospel of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ says again, all who come to me, they shall know life and salvation, and I have paid for their sin and been raised from the dead. Whoever believes in me will receive the payment for their sins and inherit everlasting life. It's amazing in Revelation 19, again, as we see some biblical theology here from Isaiah 55 and all the way to the end of Scripture, Revelation 19, again, picturing the messianic banquet, the marriage supper of the Lamb. Blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. How? All because of what the Lamb did, the Lamb of God, Jesus paid it all. And because he paid it all, we enter without price. Come all who thirst. Come all who want salvation. Come all who believe in by grace through faith in Jesus Christ to never die again. It costs you nothing. It costs you nothing. It is free. And the invitation is received as you and I choose to believe. We have to see the heart of God within this verse. Again, four times, come. Come. Our holy God says, I prepared a feast. The banquet is ready. Come and eat. Come and eat. The heart of our God, he calls us to life. I absolutely marvel that the God of the universe, the infinite, holy, sovereign, majestic God, that even today again, he woos you. He woos you. Church, you got to wake up. Like, you got to understand what's happening. The awesome, perfect, holy God of the universe extends his love to you again today, inviting you to himself. You can't yawn through that invitation. You can't think about something that's happening later on today. You can't be preoccupied with your useless entertainment when the living God is inviting you to a greater affection and satisfaction and purpose. This is something that makes you sit up straighter and have eyes wide open and ears ready to listen. Like, how much more will it take again today in his grace and love and mercy and incredible purpose and kindness? Once again, he woos you and me to himself. What do you and I deserve? We deserve death, punishment, and hell. And what are we extended? everlasting life and intimacy with the Father of glory and the King of the universe. God, please give your church ears to hear and hearts to respond by your Spirit to receive the invitation to feast. Here's the second part of this invitation. It's an invitation to satisfaction. Look at verse 2. Why do you spend your money for that which is not bread, and your labor for that which does not satisfy? Listen diligent to me and eat what is good. Delight yourselves in rich food. This verse speaks to the very center of our lives. It's amazing to me. You know, again, 2,700 years ago, how relevant the word of God is right now. Basically what verse 2 is saying, why are you spending your money for that which will rot? Why do you extend your labor on that which will just end us up being so miserable? Why do you continue to do that? Why do you live for that which moth and rust destroy, when life in the Lord and Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit is the only thing that can give you love, joy, and peace? It's a story that maybe you've heard before, but Billy Graham told a story on greed. He said, a party of tourists traveling through the Death Valley of California discovered the skeleton of a man who died on the drifting dunes of the desert. And clutched in his bony hand was a chunk of mica whose pyrites resembling gold had deceived him. He had mistaken the yellow streaks in this rock for gold. On a scrap of paper under the skeleton were written the words, died rich. He had thought he was rich, but he starved to death, lost and alone. Such is the deceitfulness of riches. And that's such a story of millions and millions every day who live for that which will never last, ever. And this is what verse 2 is saying to us. You know, I wonder if Jesus had Isaiah 55 verse 2 in mind when he said this in John chapter 6, do not work for the food that perishes, but for the food that endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give to you. Isn't that such a valuable piece of wisdom? Do not work for the food that perishes. Do not live for that which will be eaten by worms and maggots and disintegrate in the end, but rather labor for that which leads to eternal life. This is exactly why God says to us today, again, in verse 2, why do you spend your money for that which is not bread and your labor for that which does not satisfy? O church, let us not waste our lives by scrounging for scraps of garbage in the back alley. Let us not do that when the banquet awaits. Let us even now confess our worldly appetites that lead to nothing. Can we do that? Like, can it mean if we had the transparency in this room for the amount of pursuits that are earthly and worldly and sinful and valuing nothing in eternal, if we put all that together in a pile right now from this room, there'd be so much for us to confess, so much for us to own, so much for us just to admit to, yes, Lord, I have been laboring for that which does not satisfy. And many of us, like, we know it's true. Like, we kind of in the battle and we recognize it, and yet we haven't allowed the Holy Spirit to give us the strength to continue to seek him who actually satisfies, and we fall back into sin and fall back into sin. Can we confess our sensuality that has placed parasites upon our souls? Parasites that eat us away from the inside and devastate our affections and ruin our singing and take away our love for the Lord. Can we confess our obsession with earthly possessions that prostitute our hearts to a demonic system of greed and covetousness and evil? Can we confess such things that we are so often obsessed with that which has nothing to do with Jesus Christ himself? Our love for money, our love for self that empties us of all spiritual power. You cannot serve both God and money. It grieves the Holy Spirit of God. It quenches his power within our lives. And why is this true? Verse 2 tells us it does not satisfy. It does not satisfy. It's right there. I always remember the quote, loved it so much. The loneliest moment in life is when you've just experienced what you thought was the ultimate and it lets you down. The loneliest moment in life is when you just experienced what you thought was the ultimate and it lets you down, because it always does. It always does. Unless it's rooted in Jesus Christ. That's why when one of the sports teams that I cheer for loses again, I turn to my boys and I say, isn't it so awesome to cheer for Jesus Christ? Because he's forever undefeated and he'll never lose. I'm being serious. Like when the world tries to prop up hope in something and it lets you down and you're like, there it is again. And I trick myself into thinking somehow this is gonna work. And then you turn to Jesus, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, one whom at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And that is 100% certain, guaranteed. He cannot lose. He is that awesome. I'm so glad I belong to him. Robbie, would you love Jesus more, please? Would you put, Robbie, your hope more in Christ? Robbie, would you look and be satisfied more and more and more in the realities of the Lord Jesus Christ? But again, hear the word of the Lord, the voice of God. Listen diligently in verse 2. See that second half of verse 2? Listen diligently, right? See what God's doing? He knows his people are so often deaf. He knows how distracted we are. He knows how easily we get lured away by the things and that entice us and the little trinkets surrounding us. He's like, listen. Listen diligently. Eat what is good, church. Delight yourself in that which is rich food, a food only found in the Lord. Our world is replete with emptiness and spiritual starvation. And the Lord says to you today, listen, my child. Stop being a fool. Eat and delight yourself in me, he says. The Lord provides in abundance. But listen, we have to want him more than our sin. It's the bottom line. We have to want him more than our sin. And for some right now, in this message, in this word, by the Holy Spirit, there's a laser beam right now of the light of the Holy Spirit that is like pinpointing you right in the heart right now. And it has been now for a few minutes. There's a laser beam of Holy Spirit application and conviction that has hit you where maybe it's most important. How we respond to this moment will determine so much what happens from this moment. Obedience is so key. Obedience unlocks the power of God. Obedience allows us to see the grace of God. Obedience allows us to experience the freedom of God. When the Holy Spirit says, repent of this and pursue this godliness, and we sit there and do nothing. See, in that moment, the opportunity to respond with the Spirit of God says, that will define you and me so often. And that's what he's doing even now. He's like, I'm inviting you. I'm inviting you to satisfaction, to a feast. I'm inviting you to love. I'm inviting you to blessing. I'm inviting you to joy. I'm inviting you to myself. To stand there and just listen and do nothing, that grieves the heart of God. And as so often, may we be different. Please, Lord, help us. An invitation to feast, an invitation to satisfaction. Thirdly, this, an invitation to life. Look at verse 3. Incline your ear and come to me. Hear that your soul may live. So three verbs here, okay? Three verbs. Incline, come, hear. Incline your ear, come to me and hear. Why? Why is that so important? Here's why. That you might live. That your soul may live. The word live here, again in the original, live is to be alive, to stay alive, to revive, to recover, to return to life, revival. Incline, come here, that you might be revived.
That's all for today. Hope you can join us again next time on Live in the Light. I wanna be-